Hey, welcome back. I am Jody T. Pratt, and no, this is not the Scrapbook Podcast. This is just a little taste, a little bite, some would say a little snack, to hold you over until me and Patrick and I come back and give you guys what you've been asking for. More shenanigans, more fun, more stories off the top of the head, more us, some would say. But until then, these are four, count them, four of the 13 spine-tingly, look over your shoulder at night, spooky tales from Midnight Snacks to Dark Collection, narrated by Georgette Moses. Wonderful, wonderful narrator. And if you like what you hear, go on to Amazon. If you don't want to support Amazon, support me. Fuck Amazon. But support me, bro. As well as Audible. It is available on Audible right now. Midnight Snacks, the Dark Collection. Like I said, the links will be in the show notes. You can pick up When the Clouds Darken, which is paperback on paperback right now. Available on Amazon. Soon, you'll get the audiobook of that. Right now, I'm writing. Right now, we're trying to get it together. We're trying to chase these dreams. You know what I mean? My personal dream, becoming a writer. Tough shit, tough shit. You know that. A nigga making a YouTube. It's a bunch of stuff. I'm too old for this shit. On some Danny Glover shit. But anyway, we love you. Don't stop being creative. Peace. And here we go.
Leaky ceiling. Warm drips pat the shoulder and lap of 7-year-old Jared as he flinches awake from a slouched, seated position on his family's living room sofa. Pulled from a nightmare, he scans the room and sees only the boxes packed and half-packed, haphazardly placed, forming an obstacle course of sorts. The big move was planned abruptly, for after he and his older brother Tim finished the school year, 3 days and two sleeps from now. The intensity of the television glow makes Jared's eyes squint and unfocused, as the rest of the house is pitch black. His head aches as warm drips plop onto his threadbare black dinosaur socks. He tips his head up to investigate the heavily patterned stained ceiling. The movement made him lightheaded and nauseous. Lowering his vision after cursing at the ceiling in the only way a 7-year-old could, incorrectly and mispronounced, the indistinct sounds of the television become more faint as he makes his way to Tim's room for comfort. He would always go to his older brother in a time of need, the most recent being a few days after his mom and dad decided to let the entire Sunscale trailer park know of their differences, resulting in the police being called. In result, Jared's dad was quickly taken away. Thus, the impromptu plan to leave was set in place. Walking through the hallway, he feels the drips on his shoulders and hands in a way that makes him nearly run to Tim's bedside. Tim's large, faintly water-stained bedroom window sat ajar as his off-white curtains danced bashfully in the crescent moonlight. Tim's heavily shadowed body lay still, with his back toward Jared, as he rambles his troubles in a less than obnoxiously loud whisper. "Tim, I had such a bad dream. I was in the living room with all the lights off, and I see Dad kicking in the front door of the trailer, but he didn't look like Dad. He looked like Mr. Root from Kevin Kills. All crazy and stuff. He scared the holy crap out of me. He was all bald with no shirt on, and he was covered all over in pond scum, the way Kevin kills is. But I knew it was dead 'cause of his jumpsuit tied around his waist and his tar-covered boots. Anyway, I saw him run into the back, into Mom's room, and he killed her. I only know 'cause of her screaming. And then he went to your room and killed you. Jared's hands shook, and he swayed from one foot to the other. And I tried to fake sleep on the couch when I heard him coming from your room. He didn't kill me, but he smacked me on my head so dang hard my teeth clicked together. Jared winced as pain zigzagged through his vision. I even woke up with a damn headache. It was so freaking real. I know. You told me 1,000 times that I shouldn't be watching Kevin Kills, and I should be waiting until I am as old as you. But I can't help it. Do you really think I can wait 100 years? The silence became immense as images of his dream ricocheted around his throbbing head. Tim, Jared says, out of breath and halfway irritated that Tim laid quietly through the recount of his dream. Reaching out to touch his older brother, he is met with coldness rather than the expected warmth. Dang, Tim, you're freezing from this dang window. Don't you try to get out of school again, or I'm telling Mom you're fibbing. Jared rests the tips of his fingers on the window and furrows his brow at the chaos outside. In the middle of the road, a bald and shirtless man is down on his belly being handcuffed. Red and blue lights swirl, casting odd shadows outside and into Tim's room. Drops tip-tap his shoulders as he looks up toward the water-stained ceiling tiles, taking a deep sigh and frowning in the moment. Dad? Tim, you gotta see this. I think Dad is. An inaudible pop of the warm halogen light from the hallway illuminates Tim's room. Jared now gazes at his own partial reflection in the water-stained window. Looking down, droplets of water take on a dark hue. The drops fall faster in a tap-tap-tap sort of way. Bringing his hand up for inspection, he rubs his fingers together. The liquid is thick and warm. It's slick between his fingertips. He looks up and back to his fingers. The water has turned to blood. His heart thumps hard in his chest, like the heels of a fatiguing miler. His fingers dance around his head as they stumble across something that doesn't belong. He inspects his reflection again. Protruding from the top of his head is the rusted, broken blade from his dad's short-handled gardening hoe. Tim? Jared cracks with fear. Tim, what's wrong with me? What's on my head? Turning his head toward Tim, he sees a darkened pool around his head on the navy blue bed sheets and pillowcase. Tim, the roof got your bed all wet. Jared's confused, tethered tone hollows as his vision clears for a moment. Fixated on Tim, Jared squints to see where once was the head of his sleeping older brother, now was a mashed, flattened mass of bone and meat.
We got one, fellas.
Tim turns to a silhouette of a man against the hallway light, a police officer.
Send in the medics.
His voice shakes. Radio feedback jolts Jared from his vacant stare and steps towards the officer. the shadowed police officer in the doorway, with his gun drawn in one hand and a flashlight in the other, stumbles back slightly as Jarrett takes a step toward him.
No, son. Just wait right there,
he says in terror, holstering his gun.
The roof, is leaking, and Dad said he was going to fix it soon,
Jarrett says, blinking gradually, pointing up toward the large, dripping, malformed, water-stained ceiling tiles.